Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Hello, sports fans.
Well, hello there.
Local sports, national sports. The GCAT has got you covered.
Oh, you made a wise choice, my friend.
Time to tee it up and let it fly. It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Check it out, John.
I would say a happy Monday to everybody, but I think I kind of know how everyone is sort of feeling. January 18th, Gus Kattengill, Jordan Kleber, and Mattery, buddy, over in the LaRose studios. We'll take your phone calls, 800-998-1003. And, of course, you can tweet at us, at ESPN Radio NOLA. The normal questions of the day that we always have after a game weekend, Jordan, as follows.
Yes. Saints fans, give us your game ball pat on the back, and who needs to have a seat next to coach in the Saints loss to the Bucks, 30-20. And then our other question of the day is, Saints fans, if you need to let some steam off your chest, call in 800-998-1003 or comment at ESPN Radio NOLA over on Twitter.
Obviously, a very, very tough Sunday evening over in the Superdome on so many different levels. Obviously, we'll touch on that as the Saints season does come to an end. Pelicans, around the same time, though, get a win, Jordan, over in Sacramento. And another nice effort by some of the young players, N'Keal Alexander-Walker, Kyrie Lewis, and, of course, Zion Williamson with a big point, big night, 31 points.
Now Williamson driving on that zone. No! No, the lefty throwdown! Posterized, baby, Zion Williamson.
The man has a family. Jeez.
My heavens.
31 points, 6 rebounds, 2 assists for Zion. I think I saw Will Guillory tweet that Stan Van Gundy maybe calls that play halfback dive. Just went right down the middle and just shooed a Kings defender out of the way. Anyway, we'll touch on that as the Pels have completed 3 games now, Jordan, in the 6-game road trip. Next to Utah on Tuesday and Thursday. Same team against the Jazz over in Utah. Then Minnesota on Saturday the 23rd before coming back home next week. Wrapping up that 6-game road trip, we touched on, Jordan, how we wanted what we wanted the Pelicans to do when they went on this 6-game road trip was, what, 500 at least, right? 300.
500.
Yeah, 3-3.
Especially with the schedule.
At the very least. So they pick up their first win, and I think it was key because they actually closed out yesterday. It was a game in which they had a nice lead, Jordan, and then all of a sudden the Kings were battling back. Next thing you know, no, not again. Please don't blow that. But they did wind up doing that, Brandon Ingram.
Absolutely. I think we just kept the pressure on the offensive end. We stayed poised on the defensive end, and we made a stop that we needed to make. I think in the game, our turnovers cut down a little bit, and we just played the way we played.
B.I. with 22 points. We'll talk a lot more about this coming up with Daniel Salison coming up at 1:30. Got to tell you about that. 1:30, Daniel Salison's going to join us. And today's show, very minimal with guests. Marlon Favreau, 215, Raphael, 115, Larry Holder, 1230. As of course, obviously, we're going to talk about the playoff loss yesterday. The biggest aspect of the game, of course, is what happens to number 9 after the game.
Yeah, hey, Drew, I hate to start with this, but is this your last game?
Well, I'll answer this question one time, and that is that I'm going to give myself an opportunity to think about the season, think about a lot of things, just like I did last year, and make a decision.
Head coach Sean Payton.
Obviously, he's been tremendous for this team, this city. I can go on and on, but let's wait and answer that at the right time.
So I guess this is where we have to start today. Obviously, the Saints season comes to a close, 30-20. The Saints with 0 points in the fourth quarter. 6 in the first, 7 in the second, 7 in the third. We're going to break down this game next segment. We'll talk about it, where it was won, where it was lost. Key players, key moments. I know Jordan already has a player he'd like to put on the bench next to coach.
No, not even on the bench.
Not even on.
Send him home.
We do this every year, unfortunately. At the end of the season, we always, on Monday, we wrap things up. On Tuesday, we kind of take a look at things, and then we always put players on the bus to the airport, and then we start to build the roster and all of that. Basically, what the coaching staff does a couple of days after that. Now, what's going to be very interesting in all this as well is it's going to be a lot more change, I think, this season as opposed to some of the past off seasons. We already know reportedly, right, Dan Campbell is expected to be the head coach over at Detroit.
Correct.
He was the assistant head coach here and tight ends coach for the New Orleans Saints. It's expected that Terry Fontenot, one of the executive vice presidents with the Saints, is going to be the general manager with the Falcons. So that's expected to go, and let's see what else happens as well. We haven't even got into the salary cap, which, again, is one of the issues that even Mike Triplett was talking about late last night at the end of the game, in that it's going to hit the Saints a little hard this year.
They were going to get their way out of that cap trouble that you're talking about, even with all the, you know, $20 million players they have now, $15 million players, the great players they have, and then the losses of revenue from COVID, where the cap has been going up $10 million every year. It's now expected to go down maybe by $20 million next year, and that is really, really going to hurt this team. So this is a team that still has so much talent that I think they'll be competitive no matter who's here, but they cannot bring everybody back.
I think the thing that's frustrating is you look at the last four seasons, and you're left with an overwhelming sense of what if. Would you say that's accurate? What if? What if this player doesn't get injured? What if
Jerk
this play goes this way? What if? And I've almost felt in the four playoff losses of the last 4 years, almost feel like at times you didn't get the best that you could have gotten from this team. Now, I understand other teams create that. Other teams create pressure to disrupt the passing game, make adjustments, do things to do that. It just stinks. It stinks because you have to start this afternoon with the most obvious and the biggest question of them all, and that's Drew Brees and the future of quarterback on this team. It's not going to be number nine. They spent two and a half hours on the football field after the game yesterday.
Yeah.
Drew throwing to his boys, playing with his daughter. His wife was there. Drew Brees and Tom Brady sharing a moment as well. He walks over, you know, the bus is parked over there on the arena side. And you see Brees and Brady. This is the audio of it. They hug. Then one of Drew's kids tosses him the football. There he goes. The five at the goal line, back pylon. Toss! It's a touchdown. Tom Brady throwing a TD to him. Hugging Drew Brees' wife. And tells Drew goodbye. And then a little advice there, a little parenting advice here coming up, Jordan.
Have fun. Be nice to your sister. Yes, be nice to your sister.
Be nice to your sister. Look, it was a touching moment, right? And you saw it. And you saw him playing out there. And then there was a video clip that was in the package that Fox 8 had, that Sean had in his package, Sean Fazan. And it was Drew and his wife, kind of like forehead to forehead, just kind of leaning in. She's hugging him. He's hugging her. And you can just imagine what she's telling him. I mean, I get what he said after the game, that he's going to take time to look at it. But we all know it, right? We all saw it. That was his last game. And it stinks because of how it went down. He had an interception, and then you had one of the plays we'll talk about next segment that I thought changed the game with Jared Cook's strip fumble. And then the next two interceptions, miscommunication with Alvin Kamara, and another one he's trying to force to Cook into coverage.
He had it.
I mean,
Cook had it. You know, it was perfectly placed.
Well, I think we know where you're going next.
Like the whole city of New Orleans wants to go there.
I know, just breathe. The first segment's about nine.
No, no.
The first segment's about nine. I saw a lot of people on Twitter, you know, taking the video of Drew with his kids. You know, and I get it. Look, y'all are bitter and y'all upset. But tweets of now he completes a pass to his kid. I mean, come on. I get you're upset. But again, like I felt that at NFC Championship game, I found myself making a lot of parallels and comparisons to that game, by the way. But like I felt in that game, the Saints didn't lose it on an interception by Drew. It didn't help. You can't commit four turnovers. And if you remember last week, we talked about it. Do you remember? One of the first things that we talked about all last week. In the two games in which the Saints won, turnovers. Three in the first game, three in the second. But Tampa. Sacks. Protection. Tampa did better in all those elements yesterday. But again, about nine. If, as I think a lot of people do feel, that's it. The all-time leader in passing yards, 80,358. He's second all-time in passing touchdowns, 571. 13 Pro Bowls. Four of the top five single seasons in completion percentage. Only player with multiple 5,000-yard passing seasons, five of them. NFL record, seven seasons leading the NFL in passing yards. And of course, in 2006, Walter Payton, Man of the Year, Super Bowl MVP in 2009. I saw a tweet earlier today by Ross Jackson. And again, I kind of joked with this yesterday or last week, Jordan, with you about you were eight. You're 22 right now. You were eight when the Saints signed Drew Brees. There's people that don't know anything but the Saints being a winning franchise, a team that repeatedly went into the postseason. It's incredible. Ross retweeted somebody's tweet here. And the person's name is Carson Stevenson. He said, to everyone still mad about last night, think about this. I'm 22 years old. I've seen the Saints make the playoffs multiple times and win it all once. To put that into perspective, my uncle, who loves the Saints, was 7 when the team was founded, 27 when the team made the playoffs for the first time, 40 when the Saints won their first playoff game, 49 when the Saints won their first and so far only Super Bowl. So for nearly 50 years, he had watched the Saints lose time and time again. I barely remember the pre-Drew Brees era. It's easy to get mad about a couple bad games and forget to look at the bigger picture. We spent the last 15 seasons watching one of the best quarterbacks work with one of the best coaches and win a lot of games and break all kind of records. Some Saints fans never got that luxury for a long time, and some not at all. I was thinking this morning of how to approach the opening segment and really how to talk about this. Of course, there's disappointment. We're going to talk about the game. We're going to talk about the future. What are the moves? We have time. We have days and we have weeks. But even Anna yesterday, my wife sits there and I'm sitting on the couch and I'm staring and there's a sense of loss. At least for me, I'd love to get your opinion on it. But there's a sense of loss, of hurt, of pain. Again, I've said this several times, I was very, very fortunate to be the sideline reporter for 2 years. And to watch in real time at an NFL speed field level, what that guy was able to do. He made normal, regular offensive linemen great or Pro Bowlers. He turned receivers that made the team in this system into really good players and stuff. When he was at his prime, Father Time's undefeated, and you saw it, and you've seen it, and it stinks. I wish that game would have ended, even if in the loss, Jordan, a back-and-forth battle. Tom just makes a play. You know, it stinks that the interceptions he threw yesterday really hurt. It stinks that again most of the season, and unfortunately, at times, you see the inability of the body to just not react anymore. But the way I felt about it going here in a final minute, buddy, and we'll go to break, is this. I feel it's almost like when you lose a family member to an extent. I'll expound on that when I come back, because I do think today there is a sense of sadness. But at the same time, there needs to be a sense of gratitude and just an understanding of how fortunate we were to experience what we did. Let's talk a little about that. We'll talk a little about the game. We'll get some perspective from Larry. This show's pretty open today, folks. I want to get your opinion. As the Saints season comes to an end, and more than likely Drew Brees' career in the NFL. So Sports Hangover, where Hour 1 is brought to you by the King Firm. Don't play the game of claims with insurance companies. If you've been injured in an accident, ring the King. 504-909-KING. It's the Sports Hangover on ESPN New Orleans.
Offshore workers are among the most important members of the Gulf Coast workforce. When a person working offshore or on a vessel is injured, the effects on their family can be devastating. At the King Firm, we are proud to have experience with these types of cases and make it a priority to see that our clients receive just compensation and are treated fairly. If you've been injured, don't play the game of claims with the insurance companies. Ring the King at 504-909-KING or 888-241-8766.
What happened was unthinkable. Work as we know it powered down. But Etail is here to keep business on. On to turn your home office into a powerhouse. On to plan your epic power lunch. On to keep your virtual team connected. On to make you unstoppable. This is the one thing Etail business can do for you. And that's connecting you to work every day. Etail is on for business.
Set yourself up for success when planning your next event, whether it's wedding, festival, Mardi Gras, rodeo, or concert. Joe Septic Contractors knows that it's important to cover your bases. Joe Septic Contractors can supply multi-stall restroom, air-conditioned trailers, anytime, anywhere, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Planning a luxury event? Check out their new black tie luxury restroom and shower trailers. Visit Joe Septic at viscom.net with locations in Cutoff, Thibodeau, Fouchon, and Abbeville.
When you're sick, you want to be close to home. World-class medicine doesn't require a trip to the city because the best care is close to home at Thibodeau Regional. We're continually adding new services, and our team of physicians has grown to more than 250.
That's a lot of doctors.
More doctors, more services, treating more conditions.
And keeping more families healthy.
World-class medicine, right here, close to home at Thibodeau Regional.
What are you waiting for?
Pick up the phone.
We want you to be on the show.
Now back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengat.
Following the game, Cam Jordan. What is to say about what Drew has meant to him?
Man, for the last 10 years that I've been here, for 15 or 16 years that he's been a part of the Saints, he's been everything you could imagine a leader could be. Been everything you imagine, you know, a quarterback who details his game plan, who, you know, first one in, first one out. Every stereotypical leadership core value you think of, Drew exemplifies everything that he does in terms of wanting to be a better teammate. He strives for that every day. And I mean, you think about what's been part of the league 21 years.
20 years, yeah.
He's got one Super Bowl. I mean, that's phenomenal to say he's won one, but there's been a couple times where it's been within our grasp, and us as a team has failed them. Us as a team just didn't reach the heights that we wanted to. And it's really going to go down, especially this year, it's going to go down as one of my more fun teammates, one of my most fun times of being a Saint. This locker room was special. The way we grew together as a defense, the way, you know, our offense corralled this year, for us to fall short, all of it sucks and hurts. And you think about, again, Drew, you know, what he went through this last season, what he went through this season. You know, I want more for myself. I want more for us as a team. I want more for him.
You heard several sighs there. Jordan, that's just, I think, how a lot of people feel today. Right? And it just, again, I wish I could be more eloquent. It just stinks. It just stinks. But, you know, again, you just, you go back and you look back to this point and where it's at. And I said it going into the break that to me, it felt like losing a family member, because to a lot of Saints fans, and even some media members, we talked with Mike Nabors yesterday, right? 14 seasons. He had spoken to him for 14 years after every single game. People in the city referred to him by his first name. An overwhelming majority, 90% of the Saints fan base has never met Drew Brees. Would you say that, if not more? I mean, like, legitimately, like, person to person. They've never met him. They've never met him. And like a family member, there's a personal connection and attachment to him. And I do think it's because of when he arrived. That helps form that bond, form that connection emotionally, and attachment that connects right there in between your chest there. It's called your heart. Because like many of us, after Katrina, we feel like we were battling. Fill in the blank. Battling insurance companies. Battling our reputation as a... I mean, you remember. Put on the news shows. Gotta just move everybody out of there. Not understanding how it happened, what happened, that it was... Not understanding that. They're in the oil spill. There's oil going down Poydras Street. No, there's not. It's not. I know in movies, people cross the bridge to the West Bank and they're in the swamp. It's not exactly true. You got to drive a little further down. But the General de Gaulle exit doesn't go right into water. I promise. But I'm trying to think of athletes, at least in this era, in this community, and even just overall, that have had such a connection to the city and its fan base. That's Drew. You know Drew. That's your guy. Why? Because he always spoke in your behalf. He always fought for this city. Always spoke highly of it. Right? It's kind of like a family member, right, Jordan? You can pick on each other and stuff, but don't let anybody else do. He also did one thing very important that hadn't been done before. He elevated this area to a higher sense of pride than they've ever had. Bringing the franchise to an elite level. He was an elite quarterback. He's a Hall of Fame quarterback. He got it to the point where you didn't dread Saints Sunday. You looked forward to Saints Sunday. We got to the point where on Saints Sunday, you couldn't wait to see what this offense was going to do. It was exciting. It was one of the best in the league. Set records. How many Sundays did you spend in the terrace, in the loge, in the suites, at home, listening, watching, and going, dude, how much Saints gear did you buy in the time that he's been here? That you hadn't in the past. We've all been Saints fans, right? But seriously, how many little tradition things that you do? You know what I mean by that is, you know what I'm talking about when you go on vacation? How many of y'all pack? Make sure you pack. Either an LSU, a Tulane, or a Saints shirt, right? When you travel on a plane. I'm talking like in March or April, July. You have your Saints shirt on when you go, right? You go to Cabo or something, you take a nice trip, or it's a big day or vacation or something. How many of you guys wear your Saints stuff? There's a connection with this city and this team that's incredible. There really is. But in particular with that player too, man. Saints fans love themselves a lot of different players in their past. But when you think of the impact that he's had, it's unbelievable. It's unbelievable. He made the Saints a national brand. Go on, let's be honest. Before Drew Brees, how many national games this team had? It won a national draw. You can tell me it was about Reggie. It was at first. But the Saints have had a sold-out season since they have arrived. Right? Brees and Reggie. Now I know, and I've said this before, Reggie Bush caused that first sellout season in franchise history in 2006. Everyone thought he was going to be the savior. He was going to usher the Saints into an era that we've only seen. We would just turn on the TV in January and February and watch the playoffs. I grew up watching Elway and all these, you know, these greats, and wow, it'd be nice one day. Drew Brees made it possible. Drew Brees gave the Saints single-handedly a chance to win a Super Bowl, to be great, to win every single Sunday. Then Father Time takes over, and it became harder the last couple of seasons. And you can call it just really bad luck at times. And it's easy to look at it and say, that guy yesterday is not the guy we saw 5 years ago, over 10 years ago in the Super Bowl, and he's not. Who is? 10 years later. But you know what? Until Jordan's guy gets stripped, the Saints are up 7. Going in for at least, what, 3, Jordan?
2-score game.
At least a touchdown maybe as well. You could be up 14. Instead, that turnover results in a touchdown, and then every single turnover then turns into every touchdown Tampa Bay scored yesterday came directly on the possession following a turnover. Yep. The last two interceptions by Brees, they were after the game had been tied and were trailing. Saints were up 7, driving, perfect play call on 3rd and short. There's the slant, Cook's wide open. It's going to be first down and then some, and the Saints are going to be up 2 scores. Like I said, it just stinks. It just stinks. But, again, you look at that game, there's certain things that happen. We're going to discuss that coming up here with Larry Holden and take your phone calls. But, again, it hurt to see yesterday. But we all saw it. And, again, it's the best analogy I can come up. It feels like a family member has been lost. You're not going to see that anymore. You're not going to experience that anymore. But my goodness, did you get incredible memories. And it all stinks at the end, right? If we've ever lost somebody, whether it's a pet, like I did a couple months ago, a family member, the end stinks. Not as vibrant, not as lively, probably nursing things, not the way you remember them, right? And it hurts because you know it's coming, it's inevitable. An amazing amount of memories were produced, right? An incredible amount of memories. And that's why today I feel like it's the loss of a family member. Of course, you're still going to see him. He's going to have a broadcasting career.
He's not dead.
No, and I understand that. And the team's going to go on. It's going to be some interesting decisions to make. And quarterback will still be a topic we're going to talk about. Very much over the next couple of weeks and months. Who is that quarterback? You saw him yesterday. I don't know. I saw people trying to lip read, but he looked like he was telling Jameis, you know, this is your team almost. And, but again, look, the last two playoff games, Sean Payton went to another quarterback to produce a big bomb and a big pass play. So, look, it's time. Go enjoy your life, man. Go enjoy your kids. Be there for your wife. And I think he's going to be great as a broadcaster for NBC. But things come to an end, and it stinks. That's just the best way. I know, I wish I could be more eloquent. I'm not a wordsmith. It just stinks. It stinks to watch it, and it stinks to see it go like that. But, wow, did we get some memories, right? So, painful. We'll take a quick break. We'll talk with Larry Holder about the game, specifically about the things that went wrong for the Saints, and then we'll start moving forward because that's the only thing we can do on this afternoon. So Sports Hangover brought to you by the King Firm, and now we're number one. Don't play the game of claims with insurance companies. You've been injured in an accident, ring the King, 504-909-KING. Were you home for Pelicans basketball? That a nice win last night. We'll talk with Daniel Salison next hour about it. Up next, though, Larry on the Sports Hangover at ESPN New Orleans.
Carmen's startup found an angel investor, but now they're asking for a miracle from her development team.
Hello, this is Carmen. That's exciting news.
I guess we could launch early.
It's time to hire.
I need Indeed.
Indeed you do. The moment you sponsor a job on Indeed, you get a short list of quality candidates from our resume database. Indeed delivers 2.5 times more hires than the other branded job sites combined, according to Breezy HR 2019. Visit Indeed.com/credit and get a $75 credit for your first job post. Terms and conditions apply.
To show you how easy it is to file a claim with Geico, we hired a soap opera star.
Gracious me, my car has storm damage and I've had to file a claim. Could it possibly get worse? Will my claims team leave me for someone else? Someone less intense?
No. Actually, when you file a claim with Geico, you get your own dedicated claims team who promises to stay with you throughout the process.
Oh, I've never known such loyalty. I can't wait for the second season.
Geico, great service without all the drama.
Pro Extra is the Home Depot's free loyalty program built for pros. Members earn perks just for shopping, like new Pro Extra dollars or tool rental perks. Get exclusive benefits every day that save time and money. And here's an extra extra, $20 off your next in-store purchase of $200 or more, just for signing up. Want to save? Join Pro Extra, only at the Home Depot. How doers get more done. Visit the Pro Desk in-store at homedepot.com/proextra for details.
My part-time service in the Army National Guard makes it possible for me to be more for the community I call home. I'm a better neighbor because my service has taught me how important it is to be a team player. My training helps me in my classes when I give attention to detail to the task at hand. My service in the Army National Guard allows me to keep my country safe from threats. Learn more about how you too can live and serve part-time by visiting NationalGuard.com.
Sponsored by the Louisiana Army National Guard. Aired by the Louisiana Association of Broadcasters and this station.
They say that once you give him control, he'll own your brain forever.
Now back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengau.
Listen, I always soak in the moment. And, you know, I'm looking up at my family and I'm blowing kisses to my wife and my daughter and, you know, fist bumping my boys. I mean, they've become so much a part of this, and, you know, as my kids have gotten older. And they're so invested in this as well. And so it makes the moment special to be able to share it all together.
That last look back right before he went into the tunnel, huh? Did it not get you right in the insides? Larry Holder joins us from The Athletic. Larry, good afternoon, sir. How are you? Hello, Larry. Larry going once. Hello, Larry.
I am here.
There you are.
Yeah. Now I'm better. I can hear you.
Now you're better. Look, I said in the opening segment and a half here, dude, it feels like you lose a family member when you see something come to an end, and not just the season. I'm specifically talking about number 9, and we're going to get into the game, but just overall, how are you feeling today as somebody that's from the city and to see what more than likely was the last time number 9 was on that field?
Look, I mean, just me personally, my first day on the job covering the Saints was the day Drew Brees agreed to join the Saints. So I have covered him the entire ride. And so it is, and look, we're close in the same age, and, you know, it's funny. It's almost like I've grown as he's grown. Mm-hmm. Obviously, he's had a little bit of bigger, better things than me. But still, you know, you cover him the entire way. And it's almost still hasn't even hit me that this could have been it and probably is it. And so, and I mean, I'm like writing today as if it is it. And So it is just a really surreal moment in the history of the Saints and the history of the city and the history really of the NFL, even though he's probably not going to be as lauded as a Tom Brady, but still, he's one of the best players to ever play. And the fact that that is over is just kind of numbing. And then also just in the fashion that it went down, it doesn't end well always, whether you're cut or, you know, your injury or something. But look, just to see it kind of go down with a whimper, that's kind of a bummer, too, for someone who, you know, has done, you know, bent over backwards for his team and of course, this city as well.
And that's what I wanted to get into with you, Larry, because that's how I look at it. Look, before Brady, we saw the Patriots lose a Super Bowl here in New Orleans. I mean, the Pats have had some previous success. What's remarkable to me is it could not be more night and day pre-Peyton Breeze era on this franchise, right? I mean, I was reading a tweet from earlier that Ross Jackson retweeted from somebody where somebody said that, you know, their uncle started as a fan at 7, and at 47, he saw the first playoff win. I mean, like, it was over half of the franchise's history has been losing. And to kids that have been born recently or young adults, and he's 22, he's like, all I know is the Saints are winners. And that's the thing when you look at the importance of him alone to this franchise, sold out seasons, elite status, a national brand that the Saints were, nationally televised games, speaking on behalf of your city, getting guys to come here and free, all that stuff. One player did that, man. It's incredible.
Yeah, it is. And I doubt anyone will ever surpass Drew Brees in the lore of Saints history. It's the same way you look at, I mean, this isn't an exaggeration. I mean, Joe Montana with the 49ers.
Yep.
It's like the same thing. Tom Brady with the Patriots, Peyton Manning with the Colts. Drew Brees will be that for the Saints. And, look, it's something that, boy, you know, you wish he could have won more. He did win one Super Bowl ring. So, hey, one certainly better than none. But like you said, for this generation of people growing up, I mean, you're going to have basically people who are, 18, 19, 20, or even, you know, even 20, early 20s, that they knew this franchise is more of a winner than a loser. And that's not what you and me knew. So it's definitely, he has helped scope, and of course Sean Payton as well, to change the scope around this franchise. And I know there's other days, and I know you and me will talk about this ad nauseum these next few months. I mean, but changes, they are coming, and it's not just Drew Brees. So it's going to be one of those off seasons that we have not seen in quite a while.
That's true. Front office and coaching staff, Dan Campbell expected to be the head coach with the Lions. Terry Fontenot expected to be the GM with the Falcons. So you can start seeing some of that. Larry, just some quick thoughts on the game yesterday. We can go on and on about really where it changed and stuff. I thought, to me, I almost start with this. I think Devin White had an insane impact on this game, just in terms of 11 tackles, 10 solo, a tackle for loss, an interception. They took out Deontay Harris. He was always there to hit Alvin Kamara. That guy single-handedly, I thought, affected the game.
Absolutely. There's a reason why he is second-team All-Pro with DeMario Davis. I mean, and this guy isn't even first-team All-Pro, which is kind of ridiculous. But, no, he's that's the thing. Like, his play shouldn't surprise you and me, and it doesn't. It might surprise others, but we've seen him play, and he was insane at LSU. And so this is something that I know when Saints fans saw him get drafted by the Bucs, you're thinking, uh-oh, this is kind of a little bit of trouble. And sometimes it doesn't come to fruition, but this one did. And, it's almost like, you had Deion Jones for a few years in Atlanta, and that's kind of scaled back. But Devin White, yeah, he's definitely a playmaker. I mean, and it's pretty amazing that, you know, Drew Brees actually didn't spend a ton of time on the field after the game, but he did hug two Bucs players. One was Devin White. And I think Devin White, he's someone who knows the legacy of Drew Brees. So I'm sure he takes satisfaction in doing it, but still, look, he knows that he got one over on the best to ever play the position and basically ended his career. I mean, he was definitely a big part of the reason why that happened.
It's interesting because I thought two LSU players really had an impact on that. I one of my fears back on Thursday on my last show, I said, look, I think Leonard Fournette can have a big impact on this, especially coming out of that game against Washington. I thought he had an impact yesterday, 63 on the ground, 44 reception. And I kept seeing, and I was texting, whether it's, you know, Jordan and others, I'm like, man, I think the loss of Quan Alexander hurt in a game like that.
Like, there's a reason why you went and got him, because Alex Anzalone didn't cut it. And I'm going to assume we've seen the last of Alex Anzalone in New Orleans. But, look, you bring up Fournette, and the Bucs knew they had to run it more than they tried to in the first. I mean, they ran it literally four times, and the fifth time was a kneel down. So So they had more runs in the first quarter than they did the entire game in week nine. And you kind of saw Leonard Fournette get going last week. And it's not like they got huge chunk plays, but they just stayed dedicated to it. Mm-hmm. And I think it wore the Saints down. And then you can't also discount the fact that, boy, the defense is playing their tails off. And then you have these takeaways, these turnovers by the offense that just really just put them in a bad spot every time. I mean, every time the Bucs scored a touchdown, it was off of a turnover.
Yeah.
And the field position was terrible. Like, what are you going to do? And so, it was I knew once they were getting a little bit of success here and there running the ball, they were going to have to keep doing that. And it definitely bit the Saints.
Speaking with Larry Holder of The Athletic, Larry, the reason I brought up as well Devin White, and while I started with him in terms of the players and plays that impacted a game, is because when you have an athletic linebacker like that in David, it allowed the Bucs to do what they did. And this is what I thought they had to do. They couldn't play zone, Breeze would win. And you saw them get on the line and basically at times hold receivers, but inside of 5 yards, it's legal, and be very physical. Because when you got backs like that, linebackers, you almost, I'm going to chance my matchup against Kamara. And those two linebackers can help you with that. So your DBs don't have to worry about it. Your safeties don't have to worry about it. Michael Thomas, 0 catches in that game. And in previous history against the Bucs, he's had a ton of success. Were you surprised that Michael Thomas was held catchless?
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. And you assume that he comes back and he could be a significant playoff weapon, and he hasn't. I mean, this has just been a total season for him to forget. And, I'm curious to see how he moves forward with likely a new quarterback and if they can get this thing rolling again. I mean, we saw him play well with Taysom Hill. I mean, you got to be able to – I don't know. It's really mind-boggling everything that's happened with him this year. And – we also can't discount the fact that Deontay Harris, he was so effective, he got hurt and he's out. That probably hurt. No Taysom Hill, no Latavius Murray. I mean, you had a lot of weapons that you used to have and that they weren't there, but the Saints, we've been used to seeing them win without them. And, look, Tampa's a good team. I mean, I think people need to understand that. So they just, look, you could just feel it slipping away. I mean, you could just feel it, and boy, it slipped away big time.
So, Larry, when you look at this, there's a handful of questions. Obviously, it starts with quarterback, and it moves forward to a lot of different areas, and we've already approached it already in not even 24 hours since the game ended. More important to you think, how this team handles the salary cap or what this team decides to do at quarterback?
Well, it goes hand in hand, right? I think it has to. So when you take a look at something like that, how much can you spend on a quarterback? How much can you have committed to a quarterback? How do you navigate Drew Brees' money left on there? Like, there's a lot of questions. But I know people are probably just throwing out ideas all over the map. Go get Deshaun Watson. Go do this. Go do that. I mean, hey. I'm sure the Saints are going to ponder everything in the book, but they're also going to ponder what they have on the roster right now. They got 1 year left on Taysom Hill. Jameis Winston isn't going to be under contract anymore. So how much do you invest in quarterback? And, we always talk about Mick Loomis, their ability to manipulate salary cap. I'm sure they're going to have to do it even more this time, but I mean, they've got themselves in a bigger hole than we've obviously ever seen. And so, I think it all goes hand in hand. I mean, you gotta, because if you can't spend, you can't really go out and get a big name at quarterback.
Right.
You'd have to just go with what you got right now.
Lots of questions, going into it.
Lot,
I don't think it's really hit a lot of people in it, man. Let's just do this on a positive note. What would you say would be your favorite Drew Brees memory? Is it the Super Bowl? Is it something else, another game, or something that you remember?
I feel like I've got so many, like I could write them for days. I'm fortunate because I've got to be around him for 15 years and cover him, and I've got little tidbits of stories that aren't just happened on the field, memories, this, that, and the other. I just think, you, some of the interactions I feel like I've had with him over the years, you can't pay for those, you know. And I've been very lucky, and just I'd even bring up just one little interaction. I remember after he had broken Peyton Manning's record in 2018, and he's going to the press conference, and like he's just still being a dad. Like the kids are wrestling in the locker room, and they're just like, oh, I just broke this huge record, and, you know. His son's asking if he's going to play Fortnite tomorrow, and he's like, no, we're going to play together because it's like the bye week, and you know, just human moments like mm-hmm. that when you don't think of him as superstar quarterback. And so it's you know, I feel like I've got to experience more of those than a lot of people have, and so it's just, you know, it's going to be different. I mean, it's definitely going to be different. He's one of a kind. There's no question.
Yeah, and I think, Larry, as we wrap up, that's what struck me when I watched the video and people posting, you know, he was there 2 hours, man, after the game. And that's the thing is, as a person that's covered him, you have to see, and you saw he almost broke down and cried a couple times on the sideline and going off the field. He has to be dying inside, and he has to know that this is it. Yet, he's playing with his kids. It's like, it's such that dynamic because, Larry, you and I have young kids, and we've been there. We've had a bad day at the office. We've had a bad phone call where maybe we're not going to be employed. You know what I mean? Like, we've had that. But when we go home and your wife and your kids see you, it's, I don't know how to describe it. You know, you're better than me at using words. But it was such a dynamic watching that yesterday where he had to be feeling like bleep. And his little girl is playing wheelbarrow, you know, and the kids want touchdown passes from Brady, the guy that just knocked him out and ended his career. And he's smiling and he's being dad. It just killed me.
Yeah. And I think that's, you know, that's part of probably one of the reasons why he's stepping away. I mean, you know, his kids are growing up, wants to spend time with them. And so, you know, even though he's going to have a second job, going to be on TV, but still, yeah, I think it all kind of strikes everyone in the city, just what we saw, what we're seeing, and what's going to happen in the future. And so we'll you know, we'll praise Drew Brees. He deserves it for everything he's ever done, and yet we got plenty more questions. The ball keeps rolling, the show never stops.
Yep.
Let's see what happens after.
There it is, Larry Holder of The Athletic. Thank you, sir. No doubt we'll be talking soon.
Brother.
All right, it goes quick break. We'll come back. Your phone calls on ESPN New Orleans.
Avenue Wine and Spirits has one of the largest and most diverse wine and spirit selections in the city. At 2025 St. Charles Avenue, Avenue Wine and Spirits has some of the rarest bourbons, wines, and Japanese whiskeys, like 18-year-old Yamasaki. Avenue Wine and Spirits sells wine by the glass, and they've got free delivery for orders over $20. Dial 504-522-3864. Never show up empty-handed to a watch party again. Avenue Wine and Spirits, 2025 St. Charles Avenue.
Offshore workers are among the most important members of the Gulf Coast workforce. When a person working offshore or on a vessel is injured, the effects on their family can be devastating. At the King Firm, we are proud to have experience with these types of cases and make it a priority to see that our clients receive just compensation and are treated fairly. If you've been injured, don't play the game of claims with the insurance companies. Ring the King at 504-909-KING or 888-241-8766.
Some people just have a knack for being there when you need them the most. Like your third grade classmate who sticks up for you against that bully. The neighbor who gives you a jump start. And the friend who chases away that flock of geese at your outdoor wedding. Your State Farm agent has your back too, through good times and the not so good. And who's got your agent's back? State Farm, the company people have trusted for more than 90 years. We're here to help life go right.
Call State Farm agent Ashley Barrios and cut off today at 985-632-0988.
When you need health-related answers quickly, you want the fastest, safest results possible. That's why Terrebonne General Medical Center is the only facility in the state to offer the new GE Revolution Frontier Gen 2 CT scanner. This breakthrough technology presents medical professionals with the clearest images on the market while keeping patients safe and comfortable. To learn more about how TGMC is on the leading edge of healthcare, please visit TGMC.com.
He's back.
He's like the thing that wouldn't shut up.
He's got his own catchphrase.
He's the best invention since they started frosting Pop-Tarts.
Now back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengau.
It feels great to obviously beat a great football team. And, you know, that's what feels best. And it's a team effort. And, again, it just speaks to the commitment level of everybody in the organization and the coaches, the players, everyone coming together. And you don't beat great teams like this. This team's been one of the best teams in the league for a long time, 13-3 a few years ago, 13-3 last year, 12-4 this year. And, you know, they do a lot of things the right way. And I know that, you know, for us going into this week, we had to play a great game. And our defense stepped up, played huge. Like I said, the offensive line was incredible. You know, it's just a hard-fought game, very physical game. We'll need to get our rest the next couple of days and then be ready to go for practice on Wednesday.
Tampa Bay's quarterback, Tom Brady, there after the game. Richard, we come to you, sir. How are you?
Hey, I'm hanging in there, Gus. How are you doing?
Yeah. I think you described it really well right there. I'm kind of hanging it. I'm bummed, man. I'm bummed. I'm a New Orleanian. I'm bummed.
Yeah, you know, I contemplated calling today. I originally wasn't, but then what you said in the first segment, I'm like, yeah, all right. Because I thought about what you were saying, and I actually wanted to ask you because I thought this last night, and I wonder if other fans felt it. The fumble by he who shall not be named for Jordan, when that fumble happened, I was like, I had that horrible deja vu feeling from the Green Bay game. Mm-hmm. It's like, I felt it. When Taysom fumbled and you know momentum was on our side, you could just feel the air leave the room. When Cook fumbled, I was sitting on the edge of my seat, I leaned back, and I thought to myself, I get the feeling that changed the whole game right there. It's like I just felt it. I was like, I wonder if anyone else is being reminded right now of Green Bay. I even texted my friend. I was like, watch, this is going to end up like the Green Bay game. Just watch. And that's what it was. And it's so it's heartbreaking, too. You know, he fumbled at Tampa. I remember that. But it's heartbreaking because when at one point, you know, Fox on the bottom, they show, like, the up-to-date stats, and for Brady, his stats were so pedestrian, so was Drew, but for us to still be holding Brady, and I'm watching this, and I'm like, you know, truthfully, the defense is really only giving up field goals. You were talking about Fournette. Yeah. Yeah, as effective as Fournette was, right. as effective as their offense, Brady wasn't getting sacked. They weren't turning the ball over. We were still only giving up field goals. At halftime, I actually was like, if we don't turn the ball over again, we're going to win because we're clamping down when it matters. But when that fumble happened, I just felt the air just leave. Even though they only tied it, it changed it. It felt different. And honestly, it was also the fact that I knew that Drew, you know, it isn't the Drew of years ago where he would be like, oh, all right, I got this. It's like, no, he can't do it by himself. And Todd Bowles, brilliant by him. I hear he's being interviewed for, I think, the Philly job. Brilliant by him. He knew what to do. He kept all the guys within 10, 15 yards, all of them. That's why he was able to, as you said, bear hug the receivers right when the ball was snapped. That's why, you know, Kamara was getting hard yards because he just knew it. Like, Drew, I know what you can't do, so I'm not going to bother playing my guys that deep because you won't be able to do it. And it was heartbreaking. And when Winston threw that perfect touchdown play, I actually cringed because I was like, watch, people are going to point and say that's back to the year somebody other than Drew threw the deep pass in the playoff game.
Yeah, you know, and Richard, I was almost in front of you in that game before that. I said there were so many parallels to that 06, I mean, the 06 game, the NFC Championship game in 18. That needed to be more than 6-0. That needed to be more than 6-0. Okay, we can say it's a questionable black in the back. I don't think that should have been a flag. Even the broadcast was sort of like, well, regardless, if they don't throw that, Deontay Harris goes, that's a touchdown. I mean, you're They went for it on their 35-yard line. They went for it on their 35-yard line. They felt the game slipping away from them in the first quarter. Like, you want to talk about a contrast in feels in that game. The first, I mean, the Saints couldn't have started the game better, but they needed to score touchdowns. You could have been up 14-0. 14-0, and then I don't care how much Devin White brought energy and all, they're all on that sideline going, here we go again. And you know who else is taken out of the game at that point at 14-0? Fournette. And you know what else is taken out of that game? Jones. There goes their run game. And then Cam Jordan can maybe get a sack and all. It just changed the dynamic by not scoring touchdowns in those first two drives. And look, Tom Brady throws it more towards the middle of the field and not the hash mark. They're up 7-6 at the end of the first quarter instead of, scoring field goals. It's nuts because you're sitting there and my wife's like, why are you not showing any emotion? I'm like, it's over. And she's like, what are you talking about? They're up 6-0. I'm like, those needed to be touchdowns. I'm telling you. And sure enough, as the game progressed, you saw, because we've seen it before, man. If you watch enough big games and big moments with that guy and that offense, it just
can't keep them in the game like that.
Yes, exactly. Well, you made them believe they can win.
You gave them a free 21 points,
so,
essentially.
You know, it is. Thank you, Richard. Appreciate it, man.
Absolutely.
Yeah, for sure. EF, got about 3 minutes here before the top of the hour. What you got, EF? Okay. Call back, man. We'll come right back to you here in a little bit. But I think that's the thing. Now, you've been shaking your head. I've done a lot of talking here in the first hour. You got about a minute and a half before the top of the hour break.
I agree with basically everything you said, Gus. I think getting only 6 points out of those first two drives with Deontay Harris, I mean, you got to capitalize on that, especially since he went out even more so later on in the game. My whole family, we were watching it at home together, and we were all on our feet after that first return. And you almost felt, all right, well, we're scoring a touchdown here. We're going to have them on the ropes early. Tom Brady, I mean, two straight three and outs. You couldn't have asked for a better start, like you said. And you kind of just throw that interception, and you're right. They're right back in it on the right on the goal line. And now all of a sudden, it's a 10-6 lead for the Buccaneers. And I know there's the saying that you can cut the tension in the room with a knife. But I felt like I could see I could see the tension and the momentum going back and forth in that game.
But you're pressing.
Yeah,
you could see the Saints.
You could see
press.
Whenever the Saints had momentum, and you did not capitalize on it. And that Jared Cook.
Look, I'm telling you, it's
that fumble from Jared Cook.
It
killed the Saints.
Again. So you score a touchdown to open the game, the half. You're up 20-13. They punt. Five plays, they punt. You're driving down, right? You're up 20-13, and you're driving down. And, I mean, it's third and two. You're at your 45. He catches it. You're on the other side of the field. Who didn't feel that they were going to score on that drive?
They were scoring.
I mean, they were methodically right
they were
down
scoring.
The field. They were going to get three, but you felt inside of you seven's coming. And if they go up seven, it's 27-13.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a massive play. That is a massive, massive play, that fumble.
And I thought the tide turned once they came out of halftime and they received the ball, they were just hammering Alvin Kamara. We were finally getting the run game going. I'm like, here we go.
That's right. I'm telling you.
And all just completely went away.
After that, the Saints' offensive possessions, after that touchdown to tie it, punt, interception, interception. Those are the next three Saints' offensive possessions. Hour one is in the books. Hour two, feel free to give us a buzz. It's a Sports Hangover on ESPN New Orleans.